A heap of skulls and bones is piled high behind iron railings. From the grinning mouth of a skull emerges the head of a large snake. Flickering its tongue, it slithers down onto a narrow path and moves silently between the gravestones in a dark and overgrown cemetery. The reptile's lithe body shimmers as it glides swiftly along the uneven path. The snake slides past a stone statue of a skeleton with huge wings, draped in a hooded cloak and holding a scythe. Metallic silver letters appear in the dark, glowering sky. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. A huge, dilapidated house stands silhouetted against the night sky. A light is switched on in a cottage nearby. A disheveled old man lights the gas and puts on a kettle. He takes the top off a teapot and picks up a tea bag. Through the kitchen window, he notices a light in the big house. He throws down the tea bag angrily.
Bloody kids.
He takes a bunch of keys from a hook and leaves the cottage, lighting his way with a large torch. He stumbles across the uneven ground towards the big house. He hauls himself unsteadily up the stone steps to the large wooden door. Inside the house, the strong beam of the old man's torch flickers over dusty wooden panelling and a grandfather clock festooned with cobwebs. Grasping the wooden banister, he starts to climb the uncarpeted stairs, his torch casting eerie shadows over the panelled walls. He turns off his torch as he hears voices from an open doorway. Step creaks.
Where is one for you?
Oh, no. No, no, my Lord Voldemort. I only meant perhaps if we were to do it without the boy.
No! The boy is everything. It cannot be done without him. And it will be done exactly as I say.
A young man.
I will not disappoint you, my Lord.
Good. Just gather our old comrades. Send them aside.
The snake appears and slithers through the doorway towards a figure hidden in an armchair.
Nagini tells me the old Muggle caretaker is standing just outside the door. Step aside, Wormtail, so I can give our guest a proper greeting. Avada Kedavra!
The old man is engulfed in a flash of green light. In the cottage, the kettle boils. Harry jerks awake.
Are you all right?
Hermione, bad dream. When did you get here?
Just now, you.
Last night.
Wake up! Wake up, Ronald!
Bloody hell.
Honestly, get dressed. And don't go back to sleep.
Come on, Ron! Your mother says breakfast's ready.
Ron flops back onto his pillow. Before dawn...
Ron, where are we actually going?
Dunno.
Hey, Dad! Where are we going?
I'm the foggiest! Keep up!
Mr. Weasley leads his group through a wood.
Arthur! It's about time, son!
Sorry, Amos. Some of us had a bit of a sleepy start. This is Amos Diggory, everyone. Works with me at the ministry.
A boy drops down.
This strapping young lad must be Cedric, am I right?
Sir, this way.
Merlin's beard. You must be Harry Potter.
Yes, sir.
Great, great pleasure.
Pleasure to meet you too, sir.
They climb a grassy slope.
Yes, it's just over there.
The faint glow of dawn appears in the sky.
Shall we?
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to be late.
Come on, leave you there now. Get yourself into a good position. Why are they all standing around that manky old boot?
That isn't just any manky old boot, mate.
It's a portkey.
Time to go!
What's a port key?
Ready? After three. One, two.
Harry!
Three!
They all touch the boot, which begins to spin like a Catherine wheel. They are pulled with it, spinning faster and faster into a bright white void.
Let go, kids!
What?
Let go!
Ginny, Hermione, Ron, Harry and the twins let go and land heavily. Harry looks up and sees Mr. Diggory, Cedric and Mr. Weasley hiking sedately down to Earth.
I bet that cleared your sinuses, eh?
Total shambles, as per usual.
Thanks.
Cedric helps Harry up. They follow the others along a clifftop overlooking the sea.
Come on, look at that!
Well, kids, welcome to the Quidditch World Cup!
The sun rises as they look down on our gigantic campsite. Tents of all shapes and sizes stretch in every direction.
Look!
Jugglers entertain the crowds as even more tents are erected. People on broomsticks fly dangerously low.
Hey! Ivy! Party of the waves, I think, old chap!
See you at the match!
See you at the match!
Cedric!
Cedric, come on!
See you later, Cedric!
Mr. Weasley leads them to a shabby two-man tent.
Home sweet home!
Harry gawps.
What?
Inside the tiny tent, he sees a vast interior furnished with carpets, beds and sofas.
Excellent. Over the bath. Girls, choose a bunk and unpack. Ron, get out of the kitchen. We're all hungry.
Yeah, get out of the kitchen, Ron.
Feet off the table.
Feet off the table.
Harry smiles.
I love magic.
As evening falls, they join the excited crowds in the magnificent Quidditch Stadium. The spectators take their seats in the stands, many of them wearing colourful national costumes.
Blimey, Dad! How far up are we?
Well, put it this way. If it rains, you'll be the first to know.
Lucius Malfoy.
Father and I are in the minister's box. By personal invitation of Cornelius Fudge himself.
Don't boast, Draco. There's no need with these people.
He stops Harry with his walking stick.
Do enjoy yourself, won't you? While you can.
He smirks at Harry. Spotlight beams illuminate the packed stands. Hermione and the twins wear green and white scarves. Mr. Diggory takes them to the highest level of the stadium.
Seems to be worth waiting for.
Come on! It's the Irish! Let's try!
And the lift!
And the run!
The seven Irish players zoom out in formation, green and white smoke streaming from their broomsticks. Fireworks explode in the shape of a sprightly leprechaun dancing a jig. A flag says, top of the morning.
Here come the Bulgarians!
Not yet!
The opposing team in black and red fly high above the pitch. One turns a somersault.
Best secret in the world!
A gigantic image of the handsome Bulgarian player is projected onto the towering stands. He hovers in front of a waving flag proclaiming the name Crumb.
Crumb! Yes!
Crumb raises his fist confidently. Cornelius Fudge uses his wand to amplify his voice.
Good evening! As Minister for Magic, it gives me great pleasure to welcome each and every one of you to the final of the 422nd Quidditch World Cup. Let the match begin!
A bright ball of light springs from his wand and plunges down towards the arena. Back in the tent, George and Fred celebrate the Irish victory. Mr. Weasley lights a lamp.
There's no one like Crumb.
Crumb? Dumb Crumb.
It's like a bird the way he rides the wind. He's more than an athlete. He's an artist.
I think you're in love, Ron.
Shut up.
Victor, I love you.
Victor, I do.
When we're apart, my heart beats only for you.
Sounds like the Irish have got their pride on.
Stop! Stop it! It's not the Irish. We've got to get out of here. Now!
Mr. Weasley hurries them out of the tent.
Get out! It's the Death Eater!
Get back to the portkey, everybody, and stick together! Fred, George! Ginny is your responsibility!
Come on!
Harry!
The camp is in chaos. Many of the tents are on fire, the flames leaping high into the darkness. Harry sees ominous cloaked figures with skeleton masks and tall pointed hats, carrying flaming torches. He starts to run. Wrestled away from Hermione and the others, Harry dodges through the panicking crowd. In the confusion, Harry trips and falls. As he struggles to get up, flying feet knock him aside. Light from the burning tents flickers across his face as he lies unconscious on the muddy ground. Everything goes black.